Okay, welcome everybody. It's John Gabriel, and this is the Gabriel Method Detox 2015, and we are on webinar number 5 of the second week, and this is day 5 for a lot of people, and it is also, it's day 4 in the evening for people in the U.S., it's day 5 for people in Australia. Very, very exciting time. I'll just bring Nadia in if we can. Nadia, are you there?
Hi, John.
Hi, Nadia. How are you?
Really good. I can't believe how fast the time has gone.
Yeah, no, I know. I hope everyone else feels that way. But so this is the last day for a lot of people, and that's really exciting. Sometimes that's a really good place to be. So there are times that I have done detox where I felt absolutely amazing on this day, and other times not so much. I'm sure we'll hear from people. I don't know if what you've been hearing in the chat rolls or with the questions. What have you been hearing?
Yeah, it's a mix. A lot of people feeling really great, and a few people not so much.
Yeah.
And that is exactly to be expected. That's exactly how it's been for me and so many people that I've helped through cleanses.
Yeah, this is a really important webinar, I would say, because, and I'll just review where we are. So we are right here concluding the cleanse, the last day of the cleanse. We will have a cleanse wrap-up party tomorrow, which is kind of fun. But this is an important webinar because, as you have said many times, and as I know from firsthand experience is true, coming off the cleanse is the most important part of the cleanse. Is that right?
Yeah, it certainly is. And I'm really happy we're dedicating a whole webinar to this because it really is the most important part of the cleanse.
Yeah. So the first part, let's talk about going slow. You know, we talked about yesterday this feeling like as soon as you start eating, you're going to want to stuff yourself. And how that's been the case, you know, if you've done like a one-day fast for religious reasons or something like that where you're not drinking any water and your digestion still hasn't shut down and you go to this big banquet and buffet table and you're going to want to stuff yourself, that it's probably not going to – you may think that that's what you're going to be expecting, but probably not going to be the case. Is that right?
Yeah, it almost is always the case. I don't think I can remember a case when it hasn't been like that for me, where you come off the cleanse and, yeah, you're looking forward to so much food, but then you sit down with this big plate of food in front of you, and for me, one or two or three bites, and I've had enough. And then, you know, I walk away from the food, and short time after, maybe 10 or 20 minutes, you know, I feel like I'm ready for another bite. And that's pretty much how I do day one. I just graze and nibble throughout the day.
That's exactly what I do. So I still have maybe some juices or super greens or broth around, but I'll have some soups that have a little bit more substance. So I'll have broths that have vegetables in it or miso soup. I will have fermented vegetables, some sprouts and some salads, and get used to the chewing movement. And what usually happens is as soon as you chew, there's a little bit of food in, or for me, as soon as there's a little bit of food in my stomach, I just stop. I don't want any more food in my stomach until the process is going. And what's happening is all of these things, the acids and the enzymes, they have to be woken up slowly. And those first couple of bites are going to be the beginning of your digestion waking up.
Right. I like to think of it a little bit similar to a newborn baby. A newborn baby is on breast milk at first, and then when you start to put them on solid foods, you don't start them with a huge complex meal right away. You start them with very, very easy to digest meals. And that's how I think of this too. You come off of a cleanse and you haven't had anything, any solid food for 5 days. So your digestive system isn't used to breaking anything down. So you really, really need to support that and give it really super easy things to digest. And another thing too that I often see happening is as soon as people start eating, they forget about drinking water. So it is really exciting to be eating again and all those flavors and chewing, but really, really important to make sure you keep that water intake high. It's good for always every day as you move forward, but especially for right now because you are still in cleansing mode that first day. Even though you're eating food, your body is transitioning out of cleanse, which means that your body still is cleansing at the same time while it's getting used to digesting food. So you need that water to support that as well.
Yeah. I find also it's very important for me, and I would suggest to take digestive enzymes with your meals because your body's not necessarily producing the digestive enzymes in your stomach for the digestion in the first couple of meals. So digestive enzymes with the meals I find works really, really well for me. Have you ever done that?
I don't usually do that, but I can definitely see that that's helpful, and I can certainly go along with that recommendation for sure. Another thing you can do is right before you're about to have that first meal, you can sip on a little half a glass of warm water with some apple cider vinegar or lemon in it, And that'll also stimulate the production of digestive juices in your stomach. And the other thing that we mentioned already yesterday, and it's on this slide too, is to chew your food really well, because chewing is what signals, it's the signal that your brain has to send digestive enzymes to your stomach. So the more you chew, the more you'll get that digestive system woken up.
Absolutely. And also have pre-digested foods in the form of smoothies or blended up soups. You want to make that the digestion as simple as possible also. That combination for me, sprouts, I like sprouts and lettuce to get the chewing motion, but they're really easy to digest if you're eating other foods, and we'll talk about what other foods. It's good to have them kind of blended a little bit in the first couple minutes. The other thing I find, I don't know if you've ever found this, Natty, is that sometimes when I start eating after a cleanse, I get really tired. And I almost feel like it's my body shifting gears. You know, we talked about how this cleansing mode, if you look at a computer, it's like a computer cleansing mode or a defrag mode or a different operating mode. The process of going from one operating mode to the other, to me, is a shift. And I almost feel like my body has shifted. It's like, okay, it wants to rest while it shifts back into ramping up the digestion. Have you had that experience at all?
I've had that experience, especially if I've eaten a little too much at any certain sitting. And that also goes along with the shift that you're talking about, that digestion is a lot of work. So your body is working just like cleansing is a lot of work, and you've been doing that cleansing. But just like you said, you know, it's shifting. So it's shifting from one type of work to another type of work. And while your body's getting used to that, you can feel some tiredness.
Yeah, I think the key in the first couple of days is if you can create as much space as possible for going off of the cleanse the right way. So space so that if you want to eat frequently, little bites at a time the first day or two throughout the day, that there's the space to do that. Space if you need to rest, to include the next couple of days as part of the cleanse will help ensure that you'll have the best results possible when you go off of the cleanse. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. And like we said yesterday, think of this as part of the cleanse. The cleanse isn't finished. It's the next day of the cleanse.
Yeah. And what we talked about yesterday, I'll just draw this teeny little graph that I drew yesterday. I think it was yesterday where, you know, we're sort of at this point right now, and you could go one way or the other. If you go off of the cleanse the right way, you're kind of going to go in a develop a positive momentum. If you go off the cleanse the wrong way and you just go, you know, right into junk food and you proliferate your body again with unfriendly bacteria and that cause addictions and junk food cravings, then you're going to start to go in this sort of downward direction. And you may not notice it for the first couple of days or weeks, but 6 months down the road, if you're going in this direction where you're getting healthier and healthier, you're craving less and less junk food, your body's getting more and more proliferated with friendly bacteria and an alkaline blood environment, to the point where you're actually organically, naturally repulsed by junk food and craving health food, then you're on a positive spiral. You're in a positive momentum. You're going further and further in a positive direction. If you get off the cleanse the wrong way and you start going more and more into the junk food direction, you're going to end up down here after 6 months. And that's a huge difference, you know. So you're right here. The real question is, you've done some great cleansing. Where do you go from here? And the next couple of days are integral to determining which direction you go.
Yeah, that's really important. You've put a lot of effort into these past 2 weeks, and it's really, really good to remind yourself of the gift you've given yourself and to take advantage of that. And, you know, if you're feeling really motivated, I have a feeling there's probably a few people out there that are feeling really great today, and they're wondering, well, can I go longer? This feels so good. I want to keep going. And the thing about that is you want to stop when you're feeling good. When you're feeling great and motivated, that's the time to stop a cleanse. And that's when you have more of a guarantee that you're going to stop it properly.
Yeah. You want your first experience to be a really positive experience, and you want to go off it, and you want us with you for the next day or two while you're going off it. If you go too long, you will have stressed your body and you could end up going in the wrong direction. So what you need to be thinking about right now isn't so much the cleanse or how long you can be on the cleanse. What you need to be thinking about right now is the rest of your life. Like, what direction are you going to go for the rest of your life? And how you get off the cleanse is going to help determine that. So those are the types of questions you need to be asking. On the topic of questions, let's bring Den in. We're getting a steady stream of questions in the chat roll, so maybe we could start addressing some of them.
Sounds good.
Hi, John. Hi, Nadia.
Hi.
Hi. Everybody's really active on the, I think everyone's sort of really getting to know each other, which is lovely. Yeah. So there's a lot of chatting, which is great. Okay, Victoria says, I have a question. In Australia, we have Vital Greens, which John says he likes, as well as the Green Me Up. Vital Greens have fruits as well as veggies, and I know you said to keep them separate. I have the largest container they make of Vital Greens and would like to keep using them. Is this okay? Also, I don't think they can't contain probiotics. Does John know if this is correct? What probiotic brand would he recommend for people living in Australia?
Yeah, so Vital Greens are good. They have some fruit in them, but they've got a lot of other things too. They've got a lot of nutrients. They have some protein. They've got lots of different vegetables and lots of different super greens. I don't think there's certainly no artificial sweeteners. I don't think there might be some sweeteners like stevia in there. So there's nothing wrong with Vital Greens. You can continue to have it. It does also have some digestive enzymes, which is great, and it might have some probiotics, but might not. And probiotics in Australia, I'm not crazy about the off the counter probiotics in Australia. There's usually not enough strains, varied strains, and it certainly doesn't have digestive microbes. So I usually buy my probiotics from iHerb.com. So that's iHerb.com, iHerb.com.
Okay.
And I like Primal Defense's Garden of Life's probiotic, which is called Primal Defense. They've got a lot of them, but I like their Primal Defense. That's one I usually buy when we don't have our brand. We are putting another order in for our brand, but it takes 6 to 8 weeks to develop. They develop them in small batches. That's a really good one because it's got, I think, 10 different strains of friendly bacteria in it, all really and produced really well. But Garden of Life's one is really good, and it's always available. It's very cost effective too. It's cheaper than I think I can even produce them. So that's a really good one. You buy it from iHerb, and they don't charge shipping if you order a large enough order. So I get my I also get the Garden of Life raw super greens, the cacao flavored ones, the ones I like. And I might get 10 of those plus 5 orders of probiotics that could last me a good few months. And there's no charge for shipping. And it usually comes within 2 weeks. So that's what I like to use.
Okay, thank you. Terry's got an interesting question. I was on Cithroid for hypothyroidism. Yeah. But it made no difference to how awful and exhausted I was feeling. So I went on natural desiccated thyroid for a year and still no difference. I've recently weaned off that too and was feeling a bit better, but this cleanse has made my body feel better than it has in years. What do you, John and Nadia, recommend for continuing to heal my thyroid after the cleanse?
Yeah. So it depends on what's wrong with your thyroid. So if your thyroid is just slow, it's not producing enough T3 or T4, hormone, then that may be for other reasons. It may be because you're leptin resistant, which most people that have weight issues are resistant to the hormone leptin. So the hormone leptin sends a signal to the brain, which sends a signal to the thyroid to start producing thyroid hormone. But if the brain is resistant to leptin, if you've got leptin resistance, then the brain doesn't send that signal to the thyroid. So it's really about the leptin resistance, which you are taking care of through every aspect of the Gabriel method, but especially during this cleanse, because leptin resistance is caused by inflammation, toxins, basically those are and processed food. So those are the biggest culprit, and the stress hormones that can be caused by mental and emotional stress, and the inflammatory hormones that can be caused by digestive issues, toxins, and processed foods. Those hormones cause your brain to stop listening to the hormone leptin, and then you get thyroid problems. So when your brain becomes more sensitive to the hormone leptin, literally what happens is the pro-inflammatory hormones, they activate an enzyme in your brain that stops the signaling of the brain when it registers this hormone leptin. I don't want to get too much further down the road on that, but it basically stops it from sending signals. So everybody's looking at the thyroid and saying, oh, your thyroid's slow. Take thyroid, take this, take that. It doesn't do anything for anybody. Very rarely does it do anything. It's what Dr. Ron Rosedale, who's a brilliant metabolic researcher, who really explained insulin resistance and leptin resistance to me in a way that nobody else has. And that was years ago. So brilliant, this guy. He calls it kindergarten medicine. You know, this idea that the analogy is you put a pile of bricks in a schoolyard and just assume that there's going to be a school building built. It's just not that simple. If your thyroid is slow, that doesn't mean that take thyroid medication. The answer in many cases is you reverse leptin resistance, which is what we're doing. So it's very likely that your thyroid problems can go away from the detox we're doing. Other reasons that we have thyroid problems is our immune system starts attacking it. We get what's called Hashimoto's disease. And that comes from an overworked, confused immune system, which comes from chronic inflammation. So, for example, if you've got leaky gut and all day long you're leaking toxins into your diet, into your bloodstream, and eating processed foods that are being leaked, undigested into your bloodstream, your body's recognizing it as a toxin. It's activating your immune system. Your immune system's getting so confused, it doesn't know what to do, and it just starts attacking everything, and it attacks your thyroid, and you get this Hashimoto's disease. Well, you're healing leaky gut. You're reducing the inflammation. You're giving your immune system a break so that it can not be confused and not be in this alarmed state anymore, and then the Hashimoto's goes away. So what we want to do is address the real issues of what's the thyroid problem, not just do the kindergarten medicine thing of taking a pill. And that's what you're doing, and so it does not surprise me at all that your thyroid is, that you're feeling better. And you may even find, if you keep down this road, that 6 months from now you get tested and your thyroid's functioning perfectly. It's happened many, many times. Just continue down this road. There's nothing in particular I would recommend that you do any differently. We did talk about not juicing kale or Swiss chard every day. I think that's important for you. So juice other things, juice cucumber, celery, and the other types of things that we talk about juicing. Other than that, everything that we're doing is going to help your thyroid, so just keep doing what you're doing.
Okay, thank you. Laurel asked a question that I think it's, she says, I'm on day 5 and my back hurts. I think it might be my kidneys. Could this pain be part of the detox?
Very, very, very common, and it probably is. It's your kidneys detoxifying. I know that my ex-wife drinks a lot of coffee, and if she goes 3 or 4 days without coffee, she gets these shooting pains in her kidneys that actually she can feel shooting down her leg. That is very common. Do you agree, Nadia?
Yeah. Your kidneys are working very hard when you're detoxing. They are one of the organs of detoxification. So I've heard that a lot, where people have experienced that lower back pain in the kidney area.
I almost always get lower back pain now that I think about it when I do a detox. I just put that together right now. I remember thinking it just now, and when I did this detox, yeah, my lower back's bothering me again. Why does that always happen? I always thought it was because I'm not being active and my body's getting tight. And it's the tightness, because sometimes when my muscles get too tight, my lower back hurts. But now that you've mentioned it, I think I've put it together that probably it's the kidneys detoxing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's good to do some stretching. A real good stretch is the child's pose, where you're on your hands and knees with your head touching the ground and just holding that and feeling all of your gluteus muscles, your butt muscles, and your back muscles, and your thigh muscles stretching. And just holding that pose for a couple of minutes a day is a really good thing to do.
Okay. Josie says, can we eat cherries on day 1 or 2 of getting off the cleanse?
Yeah, I love cherries.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, okay. They're probably very easy to digest, yeah.
Yeah, they are, and they also have a laxative effect, which is going to help get that part of your digestive system working too.
Okay. Okay, Christina says, can I continue with the juice after day 5? How long can I stay on the detox? I feel that I can go on longer.
Yeah.
By the way, thank you so much for this incredible program.
Awesome. Yeah, so this relates to what we were just talking about then, for your first detox, you want to go off of it now, and then you can plan another detox in 6 months or a year if it's supervised and have it go longer. Some people do 12-day or even 21-day detoxes if they're supervised. Like if you go to a detox retreat or you're doing it in consult with a local naturopath, but to do your first detox and then have it go potentially too long and not have our supervision and guidance when you're going off it it would not be in your best interest at all. So we would recommend that you do go off the detox. Have an amazing experience. Continue to juice. Continue to be healthy. Continue to live a detoxification lifestyle, which is what we talk about, and keep getting healthier and healthier. And you're just going to, the detox is still going to be going on.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Marianne says, I feel great and have felt nothing through the detox. Is this normal? I did feel a bit hungry, but when I had the broth, it felt all right. It's been incredible.
Yeah, that's amazing. Mm, yeah, nice. That does happen. Yeah. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, for sure. And it's always going to be different. So we mentioned the analogy earlier of peeling an onion, peeling the layers of an onion.
Yeah.
And I've seen this in my own life as well as many others, where some detoxes like Marianne is experiencing where they don't really feel much of anything. And then another detox, the same person who felt that will come back and they'll have a very physical detox. And the next time, physically, they'll feel fine, but they'll have a very emotional detox. And it just depends on what your body is ready to let go of right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Also, Marianne asked, is it okay to have a Greek yogurt after the detox? I would add berries and some salt.
No, I would say no. I would say stay away from processed dairy for a good couple of days. That I would say definitely very strongly. That would be a no for the first couple of days. Processed dairy is one of the hardest things to digest. It's also toxic to the system. Because your body doesn't recognize it as a food because of the it's been so denatured through the processing. Sure, it does have some friendly bacteria. Some of them are active, some aren't, depending on what type of yogurt you're getting. But the actual dairy itself, if it's processed, is very challenging on the system. Do you agree, Nadia?
Yeah, I completely agree. And take a look to see if you can find or even make coconut yogurt. It's really nice.
Yeah.
I love it.
And then even with coconut yogurt there, I would wait until at least day two.
Yeah.
Okay. Does a kefir then come into that same category?
I would say coconut kefir, not dairy kefir, but coconut kefir would be cool. What do you say, Nadia?
Yeah. Coconut kefir, and then as long as it's fully fermented, that can be. Yeah. That's a really, really nice drink.
Yeah. So so a coconut kefir, just like a kombucha or any of the fermented drinks, they should be very fizzy and not sweet. If they're sweet, it means that the sugar, because they put some sort of sweetener, for example, with coconut kefir, it's the sugar from the coconut. But with kombucha or any of the other fermented drinks, they put some sort of grain or some sort of sweetener in there, and that's the food for the probiotics. But if it's tasting sweet, then basically it hasn't been fully fermented. So you want it to be really fizzy and a bit sour. Is that right, Nadia?
Yeah, exactly.
Sour, would you say? Yeah.
Yeah, tangy sour.
Yeah, tangy. And then it's a really healthy, really healthy thing to have on an ongoing basis.
I love it instead of a cocktail in the late afternoon.
Yeah.
It does the job for sure.
Yeah, it's perfect in the late afternoon too.
Yeah. You can buy it at the health food store where we are, but it's very expensive where we are. I don't know. You can probably make it pretty easily, but to buy it, do you ever make? I love asking these questions. I'm getting ready for your answer. But do you ever make coconut kefir?
That fermented foods is something I haven't really dived into too much yet, but I definitely want to. That is something I envision myself having those going all the time.
Yeah.
But in America, you can find them at a lot of the farmers markets will sell things like that now, which I never saw in the last couple of years. Yeah. It's just sort of newly
that's
coming out.
Really
the
nice.
Market.
Yeah, if you can, that's a great way to do it. Yeah. Okay.
Joe asks, if you've been a chronic overeater, does the stomach actually shrink during the cleanse?
It does, but it can expand again. But the real issues of chronic overeating are hormonal issues that we're trying to address, such as the one that we talked about, the leptin resistance will cause you to overeat, because leptin, the hormone leptin, tells your body how much weight you have on it. And so when you've got a lot of leptin in your system, the brain does certain things. The brain sends a message to the thyroid to speed up, but it also sends a message to the brain to stop being hungry. So if you look at naturally thin people that don't have leptin resistance, they might have a bite or two of a piece of pizza, and then it's just sitting there, you know, all on their plate while they're talking to you. And you're thinking, well, if I was ordering that, if that piece was on my plate, it wouldn't just be sitting there. I would wolf it down, you know, and that's a hormonal signaling issue. It's also an addiction issue. We overeat because of addiction. MSG causes you to eat more and more, which is why food manufacturers put it in. And other addicting components to food and toxic components to food make you addicted to it. We also overeat because of the bacteria in our body that causes sugar craving. So we're addressing the real issues of overeating, because believe me, I was a chronic overeater, and I stretched my stomach and to the limit. And that's the thing. When you have leptin resistance, which we all do if we have weight issues, which, again, is caused by chronic inflammation and stress, if you have that and the brain is not producing the signals that you're full, the only way that you stop eating is you physically can't put any more food in your stomach. And that's the way it used to be for me. Every meal ended because I couldn't fit anymore. But it's not like that anymore. What happens is I have a couple of bites. A message goes to the brain. We've eaten some food. That's enough. The brain sends a satiety signal, and it's all good. It's all working right. So getting away from the calories in, calories out, overeating, not overeating kind of thing, and looking more about getting our system functioning right is the answer. When it's functioning right, you're not going to be a chronic overeater. Let's focus on those issues, and that's exactly what we're doing here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nicole says, I was just wondering if having two bowel movements today would mean my digestion has kicked in. I haven't eaten any solid food,
and I'm on
day three.
No, I was, as I said, I ended up doing a 21-day cleanse. Which was very, very long, but I've had a lot of experience now. I've been doing them off and on for 10 years. And I was still having solid movements right up until the end, which I thought was amazing. That really, what do you think of that, Nadia? I mean, to me, it was kind of mind-blowing. 20 days into it to have a solid movement,
you know. Yeah, it is mind-blowing, and I've seen that happen. The body is an amazing thing, and it's amazing how much we can hold on to. And like I mentioned earlier, it depends on what your body's ready to let go of. So some people might not have that experience, and then other people might have solid bowel movements or semi-solid bowel movements all throughout the cleanse.
And it's different for each cleanse, like you said, because I have had other longer cleanses where I wouldn't go for, you know, a week, 2 weeks at a time. And then it took some time to kickstart my digestion, which is something we probably should talk about, too, at some point. But for a couple of days, 5 days into it, you're having solid moves, that can definitely happen, and that's a really good thing.
Mm, okay. A couple of people have asked about grapes on the first day.
Okay. Nadia?
Yeah, I think grapes are fine.
Okay. What about baked sweet potatoes? And that got a whole roll of people.
That got a whole thing
saying,
going on.
Yum.
I would suggest not having that for your very first meal. Maybe leave it for at least later in day one, or if not day two.
And I would also think, correct me if I'm wrong, that the skin, although the skin is usually really good for you in a sweet potato. I would leave that for a couple of days too, just because it might be a little bit hard to break down. What do you think?
Yeah, you really do want to give your body the easiest possible thing to manage to digest.
You want like baby
food. You do that, right. Just like baby food.
Literally, your digestion's waking up like a baby's. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And the more you can do that, the more successful this transition is going to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Okay. Sonia says, I'm still bloated. Would kefir on Saturday be a good choice?
I would think so. I don't see why not. I don't think it's ever a bad choice because it's easy to digest. It's got friendly bacteria. What do you say, Nadia?
Yeah, and also maybe taking a probiotic supplement and having some other cultured foods as well.
I would recommend that across the board for everyone, that they take probiotics a few times in the day. They take digestive enzymes with meals and as much cultured veggies that are and cultured foods that are not dairy-based as possible. So, Dan, we're going to get through a couple of more issues on the slides, and then we'll bring
you
back for a while if we can. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So let's talk about what to eat. We've been talking about that. We have here in the slide that you can never go wrong with the Gabel Method Big Three, and the Big Three are really protein, live food, and omega-3 fatty acids. The only proviso, I would say, is the protein. I would wait till day two. It's going to take, it takes a while to digest protein, and I would take digestive enzymes with them. What do you say?
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Yeah. And in general, really what the big three is live food, really, is real food. You want your food to be as real as possible.
Yeah, you're looking for high water content foods, that first meal.
Let's talk about that a little bit. Go ahead.
Yeah, so things like raw vegetables, cucumbers are really nice, bell pepper, celery, the vegetables that have a lot of water in them. Same with the fruits. The berries are really nice, watermelons nice, all of the melons are nice. Papaya is fantastic. That's usually what I try and break my fast with is papaya. Salads are really good. Just make them very simple salads. You mentioned sprouts earlier. You can put sprouts on your salad.
Yeah.
Blended soups. So the same way you made your broth when you had all the vegetables in it, make a nice simple soup like that and then whiz it in your blender and it makes a nice blended soup. Or smoothies. I think the last cleanse I did, I had papaya, blueberries, and spinach as my smoothie.
Nice.
And then lots of water, like I was saying before.
Yeah. And I would add to the raw vegetables, fermented. If you can get fermented veggies, that's really good. Let's talk about day two.
Right. So day two is exactly the same as day one, but on day two, you can start to increase a little bit of the complexity of what you're eating. So you can add in some nuts and seeds. You can try some protein if you'd like. Try everything really slow, even on day two, just like we said on day one. Take it one bite at a time. You still might not be able to have as big a meal as you think you want. Yeah. So try little bites at a time and then take a little pause every once in a while and just check in with yourself and see how you're doing. Just see if you feel full or if your tummy is okay with everything, and then let that be your guide as to how much you want to eat.
Yeah. So this keep portion small item here, I just want to be clear that we're not saying keep portion small so that you're not eating a lot. We're saying that you're going to want to keep, you'll see that it's probably better to eat little bits, but you can eat throughout the day as much as you want. It's not a total quantity thing we're talking. We're just talking about the best way to jumpstart and restart your digestion.
Yeah. It's about giving your body as much as it wants, but it's just that after a cleanse, it typically doesn't want very much at all.
Yeah.
And then, again, lots of water on day two, just like day one.
Okay.
And when I say lots of water, too, I want to just emphasize that you're trying to get that water in on an empty stomach. So you're not going to drink a whole bunch of water while you're eating the food. You want digestion and the water drinking to be separate. So in between those meals, in between your the meals that you're having, drink water.
Okay. Day three and beyond.
Yeah, so then day three, again, you can just start to increase the complexity even more. So ideally, you're going to go on to make even healthier diet and lifestyle choices from this point. That's that little graph that you were drawing, John, earlier. And then as you do that, you're just going to keep that awareness in mind as you're making all your choices. So you can start to add in, if you eat meat, you can start to add in chicken, beef, pork, all of those types of things. And then just try and arrange your meals so that they follow the big three modality. And so you're still having very nourishing, very balanced meals, and you're
trying
to avoid
live food. So the simplest way to look at it, like for me, a lunch is some sort of animal protein, a huge salad with lots of lettuce, lots of sprouts, some chia seed and balsamic vinegar as a dressing, and you got something really good. You can have some kefir, coconut kefir with that, certainly some probiotics and digestive enzymes, and maybe I'll put some fermented, maybe some sauerkraut or some kimchi in with that. You got yourself a really, really nice meal.
Right. And John, I've heard you say this often about how you turn everything into a salad. And I do that too. And I just love that. So, you just get a great big bowl and have the bulk of the bowl be all these great salad ingredients. And then on top of that, you can add in any protein you're having, any omega-3 seeds you want to add in there, any other nuts. Usually a big dollop of sauerkraut for me goes in there.
And
that just all gets mixed up. I almost eat all of my meals out of a bowl like that.
Yeah, and I do that with everything. So I go to a pizza place nearby here. It's kind of a gourmet oven, what do you call it, where they put the clay oven?
Brick oven.
Brick oven, yeah, brick oven pizza place. And I'll order a big salad, and I'll take the toppings. I'll find a pizza that's got a lot of different toppings. So the bread doesn't do anything for me. My body's just totally repulsed by it at this point. I'll find a cheese that's preferably goat cheese, so it's easy to digest, but something that's got lots of veggies on it, maybe some animal protein. I'll put that on top of the salad with the kind of this pasta sauce, and that's a really nice meal for me.
Yeah,
I love that.
I've done that too, and it's fantastic. You get all those flavors in there, and really when you think about it, the bread of the pizza or the pasta, that doesn't have any taste. It's really the toppings that go on it or the sauce that goes on the pasta. That's where all the flavor is.
Well, you know what I've discovered. You're right. You're right, Nadia. But it's hard to know that when you're in the throes of being addicted to it. So bread doesn't have any taste the same way that cocaine doesn't have any taste, right? So you and I are not addicted to cocaine, thank God, right? Mm-hmm. But somebody that was addicted to cocaine, it's just a really appealing, beautiful, you could almost say delicious experience, right? But what it is it's the satisfaction of an addiction. So if you had said to me, 10, 12 years ago, whenever it was, if I was attending this webinar and you said, there's no taste in the bread, I would disagree with you. I would say it's delicious. Not delicious. It's satisfying. It's creating a hormonal condition in your body that's satisfying an addiction. That addiction is not there, when the bacteria that crave it are not there, and when the addiction is not there, then that is true. There is no taste to the bread whatsoever. And I can say that, I can attest to that wholeheartedly. There is no taste to it. Styrofoam bread, they are one and the same to me. But that required a process of healing my body. And so that's why we focus on the healing, because when you get to that place, you're home free. But if you don't get to that place, then you never address the real stresses and the inflammations and the problems. You never get to that place and you're just counting calories. It's a nightmare. You're fighting your body all the time. You want to get to the place where you've created so much health in your body that your body is just naturally resistant. It's pure.
Yeah. You know? And one of the ways that we talk about a lot about getting to that place is focusing on adding in. So you're adding in all of those things. So if after the cleanse, you know, you do happen to somewhere down the line have a bite of bread or pasta or something and it doesn't appeal to you, that's great. But like, you know, like you were saying, John, if it does still appeal to you, you know, just keep adding in the good stuff.
Yeah, that's how
that's how you got there, right, John?
Right. So let's say bread still appeals to you. The way to get to that place isn't to keep denying yourself, and then have this big binge and then feel horrible and then castigate yourself. And then you create this negative dynamic, which only energizes the need and the desire even more, magnetizes it. It's almost like, to me, Nadia, it's almost like a forbidden lover, right? Yeah. So there's this person, you don't know if you're going to see him, when you're going to see him, you're not allowed to see him, will you see him? You end up thinking about him all the time, right? But then all of a sudden you're together, you're living together, you're married, and you fast forward, you know, a couple of years, and they're spending 6 months at a time sitting on the couch watching football all day and farting on the couch, excuse me. You know, like, it's not as exciting, right? You know, they're there. There's no more magnetism of attraction. You demagnetize the attraction because they're there all the time. So when you create this negative, repulsive, I can't have it, forbidden fruit aspect of the food, you never get to the place where you're naturally not attracted to it. But if you focus all your effort on being really, really healthy, eating lots and lots of things to the point where your body naturally doesn't want the substance, you are so home free. The exact opposite of the denial mentality is to focus on the adding. And I can't say it enough. I can't emphasize enough. It really, really works.
Yeah, and I am so much for that as well. It's about enjoyment. It's not about deprivation and sacrifice.
Exactly. Okay, so do we want to talk about some more things about day three and beyond on this slide here, Nadia?
So again, continue to keep up your water intake. And all of those things that you were having during the cleanse, the detox tea, the chia shakes, the broth soup, all of that stuff, you can also have that if you feel like it. You know,
I still do.
That you
I mean,
add
like
your day.
Yeah, so it's about 10:30 in the morning here. I haven't had time for a proper breakfast. I woke up a little bit late, but I did have a big glass or two glasses of super greens and spirulina, you know, and that just, you know, Nadia, I'm getting weird. Okay. this is the ninth webinar we've had in 2 weeks. So we can let our hair down. And I have to say that even though I don't have much hair, I'm getting weird. Okay. Because this super green combination of super greens and spirulina, I'm sure I would have spit out years ago, tastes like chocolate milk to me. I mean, it just tastes irresistible. It's delicious. I'm licking the side of the cup to get the substance that's
stuck
to the side.
That is so funny you said that, because there are some green drinks that we make that taste like chocolate milk. And I've heard other people say that as well that I've listened to. And it's really funny because they don't have any chocolate in them, but there's some combination of greens that...
This one does.
Okay.
The Garden of Life, you should try the Garden of Life raw super greens that are cacao flavored. They have cacao in them.
Okay, so it does have chocolate in it.
It's cacao and it's sweetened with stevia. And most people would spit it out. You know, I've got a friend who's an integrative doctor. She's very, very healthy. And I gave her this drink and she spat it out. And I've been drinking this now for about a year off and on. And I'm putting spirulina in it, which, believe me, by most standards would not add to the taste of anything ever. But it's somehow the substance. There's substance. There's so much good protein in spirulina and B vitamins. And you know what it is? This is what I think it is more than anything, is that you get to this place where you're so in tune with your body that the experience of pleasure that you get from eating happens from the feeling of being nourished seconds after eating something versus the sensation or the taste in your taste buds. I think you pull back, something happens where it goes more to the feeling. So when I drink this, I'm feeling this amazing sensation of being nourished in my cells. And that's the buzz for me, as opposed to the sensation that I used to have and then tired and exhausted and craving sweets, you know, that right. sensation. Yeah. I think that's what probably happens.
Well,
I don't know.
And on the flip side, we talked about too, how when you eat something that say has aspartame in it or something that, you know, isn't so good for your body, you also feel
rejection.
Just the flip side, you know, very quickly you feel that. The same way you feel the nourishment and that high vibration very quickly.
I think that, like, you know, look, if you spend your whole life in a bar, right, like in a biker bar, there's smoke, there's alcohol, there's people fighting, there's drugs, there's all kinds of stuff going on. You spend your whole life there. You're very familiar with it, right? And you're addicted. You become addicted to the lifestyle, the drinks or the cigarettes or whatever it is. But let's say you spent your whole life in a monastery in the Himalayas. If you walked into that bar, you know, same. Let's say you spent the same 20 years. You spent 20 years in the bar every night. You spent 20 years in the monastery, and you were meditating and doing martial arts and energizing, eating real foods, and you're just living a pure life, right? And you walked into that same biker bar. The second you walk in, you'd want to get out. And I think the same thing happens with your body. As your body gets pure and purer, the second something impure comes in, you want it out.
You know? You definitely develop a sensitivity, and that sensitivity can sometimes to some people feel a little inconvenient as you're going through the journey, because the friends that you had that you're used to having pizza and beer with or whatever it is, all of a sudden you're not really so much enjoying that stuff. And that's part of the journey too, about being creative. And like I said, it's not about sacrifice or deprivation. It's about figuring out how to do everything with just as much joy. And there really, really is a way to sit with if you still enjoy those friends, to sit with them while they're having beer and pizza, and then you figure out what you can have, and it's just as enjoyable.
Right.
But
if you're having pizza on the tops of the pizza on the salad with coconut kefir or some sort of fermented kombucha or something like that, you're getting the same experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And I find I connect with people more, you know, a lot on a different level. That's just very enjoyable.
The other thing I think I notice, we're going off on a tangent, but I think it's important because you've purified your body right now. So as you're going out now into the world, it's good to become conscious of this, is that I think that as you release addiction from your body through these ways, you start to release other addictions to cigarettes, to drugs, to drinking. So many people have told me that naturally they just don't like to drink anymore. And I think when you do a lot of meditating also or listening to the visualizations, you found another way to relax from stress, a natural way to get into that blissful state that people are looking in these artificial ways to get. And so you don't need to get into those states. You don't need a drink after work. You're naturally, you can meditate or you can just relax and go for a walk and you feel calm, you feel peaceful. And so you become less attracted to those things. And you can almost like, also notice that when I'm around people that might have been drinking at a party, I almost can kind of feel their euphoria, because your brain becomes very plastic and very sensitive to other people's brain waves. Because you've been in, when you meditate a lot, you alter your brain waves a lot, and so you can do that really quickly. And it's called, there's a term for it, it's called morphic resonance. That is, you can change the resonance of your brain waves very, very quickly. And so when I'm at a party and people are drinking and having a good time, I don't feel any desire to drink at all, but I can get into that buzz state just by being around them because of the vibrations that their brains are putting out. My brain can attune to it. And that's just a skill that you get from meditating, and that's kind of cool. And what's really cool about that is when you walk away, you're not hungover, you know, you don't feel bad, but you still had a really good time.
Right. And again, the flip side of that is when you're around negative energy, you feel that more too. And so it becomes a guide for you, just like tuning into your body and your body telling you what food feels good. Your system also, your energetic body also starts to tell you what environments feel good. People feel good to be around.
Yeah, it's like Melinda Jacobs. You know Melinda Jacobs, our UCE coach that does cellular release work.
Yep.
Do you know? Yeah. So, I mean, she was in I forget the name of the town in Colorado, Aurora. I think it was Aurora, Colorado, where there was a shooting in a movie theater.
Yeah.
70 people died. She was in the theater right before it happened. Yeah. She was in the theater right before it happened. And she said to her friend, "We got to get out of here. This something feels weird."
Wow.
Yeah. She felt it. She felt the vibration. And you feel that when you get really sensitive through all this work that we're doing through meditation, visualization, purifying. She felt it. She said, "We got to get out of here."
Yeah.
And I mean, that is really cool to have your ability to sense things keep you that safe, to keep you out of trouble like that. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. And, you know, it sounds like a superhero quality, but I believe that this is accessible to every single one of us.
Exactly. You know, it's just like you say, these years ago or thousands of years ago, we all had these abilities and we don't anymore. It's not because it's not common, but we're all, you, me, Nadia, Melinda, and all of us in this webinar right now, we're in uncharted territory in the sense that we are moving to see what we're capable of as far as purifying our body, getting healthy, getting vital, living, staying young forever, staying fit, effortlessly fit. We're all in uncharted territory. We're all at different places on that journey, but it's an exciting, truly fulfilling journey. So,
yeah, and it's great to come together in a big group like this. So inspiring.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk, Nadia, if we can, about a couple of simple post-cleanse meals.
Yeah. So, again, the first day, keep it very, very simple. But as you move past the first day, you know, the second day or the third day, things like here we've got a huge salad with grilled fish, beef, or chicken, and then sprinkled with flax meal. That's an amazing meal to have as you move forward, you know, from day two or day three onwards. Again, see how your body is with it as you first start. If it's the first time you're having it on day two or day three, have a digestive enzyme perhaps with it. See how you feel after the first few bites, if your body is ready to have more of it, or after a few bites, maybe it might be done for a little while.
Always chia seeds are good too, or chia seed oil. So my favorite way to get that kind of vegetable source of omega-3 is in chia seed oil. Man, that's sort of like that salad using chia seed oil works really well for me.
Right. So you'll just drizzle the chia seed oil over the salad?
I will.
Yeah.
I will, yeah.
And
balsamic. I won't even mix it in a glass. I'll just put the chia seed oil in the balsamic.
Yeah. I'm all about keeping it simple, and I like that. Very, very simple.
I mean, literally, when I make this afternoon I have those sausages that I mentioned. You know, I can just boil those and make a salad and it's done. You know, the whole thing's done in a couple minutes.
Yeah.
That's sort of okay. So steamed veggies.
Yeah,
with
steamed
eggs.
Veggies.
Let me say something about eggs if I can.
Sure.
So for years, ever since I was a kid, I hated eggs. It used to be a joke in my family, but I couldn't eat anything with an egg in it. And then somewhere along the line, I realized that I don't actually hate eggs. I hate egg whites. I love egg yolks. And it turns out that egg whites are not easily digestible for a lot of people. They've got albumin in them, which many people can't digest and can be inflammatory. And then there's this whole thing that people think that egg whites are better for you because they've got less fat and less cholesterol. But the reality is that cholesterol is good for you, we're just discovering. And the egg yolks, they're a much more complete protein. And I love egg yolks. So everything I do is just egg yolks without the whites. So I might suggest for the first couple of meals, you try just the egg yolks because they are easier to digest. And you might find that you, like me, don't do well with egg whites anyway. And going forward, you tend toward the yolks.
Okay. Yep. Good.
Yeah. Okay.
And a few other examples of meals, grilled vegetables with seafood. You use butter and ghee for when you're grilling your vegetables, or if you're doing a light stir fry, butter and ghee is fantastic for that. Uh-huh. Berries are amazing because berries can go well with savory meals. They can go well with sweet meals. Yeah. And that's just a great way to up that live food value of your meal. Mm-hmm. So now that it's summer here in North America, so berries are in season. When they're not in season, frozen berries are fantastic too. When you're buying frozen berries, just make sure there's no extra sugar added and it's only the berry.
And try to make sure they're either spray-free or organic. They use a lot of pesticides in berries. So if you can go to it's easier in the North America because it's easier to grow berries in North America. So if you go to a farmer's market in North America, you might find farmers that are not certified organic, but they are spray-free. And that's really the most important thing with berries.
Yeah, that is important with berries and cherries too.
Yeah.
Fresh fruit and chopped veggies are always great. Guacamole is something I love. They can have a bowl of guacamole made and fresh fruits and veggies chopped up into little spears for dipping. Veggies more than fruit in the guacamole. The veggie broth, the same veggie broth that you were having during the detox, if you really like that, that's a fantastic thing to keep having.
So the guacamole is a good point. Like I remember as I was getting off of the detox that avocado was really easy to digest. And the combination of avocado with fermented veggies, that they balanced each other out nicely.
Yeah, I do that a lot, avocado with fermented veggies. And the other thing that I've been doing the last several months is, and again, this would be not for day one, but as you move forward, is sauerkraut with a dollop of raw nut butter, so raw almond butter or raw cashew butter, and mix that in with the sauerkraut, and it just is amazing. The sweetness mixed with the tanginess and the creaminess it creates, it's really good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So things like that, you know, play with things. So get fill your kitchen with really nourishing ingredients. And then when you feel like eating something, your kitchen, when you open your cupboards and open your fridge, you'll have nourishing ingredients that you're faced with. And then you can put something together based on those ingredients.
I think it's the same way you prepared for the detox. You need to prepare for going forward. For
exactly.
Sure. You
exactly.
can't just say, okay, I did it. Let's go out. And that's it. You know, you need to prepare.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, John, you've got a really good recipe book where I tell people when they look at your recipe book, become inspired by the recipes, but also by the ingredients.
Yeah.
So look at the ingredients that are in the recipes themselves and start buying those ingredients and have them in your kitchen.
Yeah. The only thing I would say about the recipe book is we revised the ebook version, but not the physical version yet. So if you have a physical copy of the recipe book, let us know and we'll give you a copy of the ebook. Because the ebook has more recipes that are less dairy and more coconut and things like that. And we took the xylitol out and used other sweeteners.
Nice.
So more chia seeds, less flax, just more up to date. So check with us and we'll give you the ebook version.
Yeah, very nice.
Okay, let's talk about restarting your digestion.
Because
this is really, really important. So for some people, their movements have been steady, and that's great. But when you do a detox, the peristalsis in your colon and intestine starts to slow down or even stop. So the peristalsis is that gentle, undulating, rhythmical motion that helps move undigested or waste material through your intestines and out of your anus. And if that's not started properly, you can get a buildup, and it might be a while before you have your first movement. So you do want to have your first movement within the first day or two, solid movement. If not, you have to take steps. So let's talk a little bit about that, Nadia.
Yeah, so the first thing is to try and relax with it all. Your bowels are going to move. If they need a little of assistance, you're going to give that to your digestive system. But try and relax with it. If you stress about it, we hold stress and tension in our gut. So that's when if you eat something and you're in a stressful, angry sort of guilty state or anything like that, it's much harder to digest your food, just the same way it's much harder to go to the bathroom and have a bowel movement if you're in that state of mind. So really try and relax with it. The other thing is, I mentioned this before, chew your food really well. So that's just a really, really easy way to get those digestive enzymes flowing to your stomach. And the more your food is broken up well in your stomach, the easier it will be for your body to evacuate it through a bowel movement. Make sure you're getting in enough fiber, and that's going to happen through the vegetables and fruits you're eating. Some really nice foods that have a nice laxative effect are the cherries I mentioned. Berries are very good. Prunes, if you take some prunes and soak them and they become really nice and soft, those are really great to have.
If you're in Australia, I don't know if they still make it, but there used to be a supplement called Peritonin, which is all natural, just essential oils and mint. And a couple others that we talked about, I forget what they are, that stimulate your peristalsis. Do you remember what herbs and mints or herbs and oils stimulate your peristalsis?
So senna is a really popular one.
Yeah.
Fennel is one.
Fennel,
Mint works. Chamomile works just because it relaxes things.
So I would encourage you to have tea. So you said one tea is good, one's not, but a tea is with, was it senna and mint?
No, senna's really good. The only reason I caution people about it during the cleanse is because it can be really strong. So after the cleanse, so if you're on the second day of eating and you haven't had a bowel movement yet, but you've been eating food, then that's a great time to make use of senna. And what you want to know about senna is it takes about 6 hours to work in your body. And when it starts working 6 hours after you drink it, it can be really strong. So you want to make sure that you drink it where 6 hours later you're going to be near a toilet. So I know in my body when I have senna, 6 hours later, I get really strong cramping and the immediate urge to be at a toilet. So you want to make sure that you are near a toilet. Taking it right before you go to sleep is really good.
And that's if and that's if you haven't had a movement by the second day. So some senna tea, some mint and senna and fennel teas will help before you go to sleep at night. Also, we talked about squatting. So if you can have a stool by your toilet, so that you put a low stool, like a kiddie stool that a kid would use to stand up so that they can brush their teeth, you know, a small child, those type of stools. If you have a stool like that in your bathroom, and when you want to go to the bathroom, you put your feet on the stool while you're sitting on the toilet so that it's more of a squat motion, it makes it much easier for you to do a movement, especially when your peristalsis is not fully active.
Yeah, definitely. Most of the world still squats to go to the bathroom, and it's just a strange strange way on our timeline that we developed sitting for that.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I talked about before is massaging your abdomen. And we talked about how to do that before. So you just want to do that in a clockwise direction. And that's really nice to stimulate peristalsis as well.
Yeah. Now, day two, you want to think about being active. You want to do some physical movement. Now you do want to break down some muscle fiber because you can eat protein to revive it. And you can remind your body that you want to be thin for a reason, that it wants to be thin for a reason, because you're active, because you're strong, because you have to chase something like a predator, like prey, or because you have to run from predator, or because you just are an active person. When you do intensity movements, it makes the brain think that we need to be thin for survival reasons, maybe because we're running away from something or to chase something or for some other reason like that. So you definitely want to do some movement on the second day. I would say something that's less than 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes, where maybe you're biking for 5 or 10 minutes or walking for 5 or 10 minutes. And then during that bike or walk, there are 10 to 20 second times, maybe 3 or 4 10 to 20 second times where you're moving as fast as possible. You want to kind of limber up first, do some stretches, certainly get your doctor's approval if you need to for exercise. But if not, you want to move as fast as possible for 10 or 20 seconds. A couple of times. It's the 10 or 20 seconds, life or death, as fast as you can, that reminds the body that, yeah, we're thin right now. We've gotten thinner. We want to continue to get thinner for survival reasons. You also want to do some strength training. You've lost some muscle possibly. You want to do some push-ups or some weightlifting, but just 5 or 10 minutes of it. You don't need much. If you normally go to the gym and you lift weights for 20 minutes, you want to only do it for 5 minutes now. If you normally do 3 sets per body part, you want to do 1 set. That's all it's going to take, but just something to get, you'll feel the soreness or the muscle fiber thing right away. You want to break that muscle fiber and you want to have protein. And that combination on day two, and maybe then every other day for a couple of days after, is really good to keep your body, to give your body a reason to stay thin and to continue to get thinner.
And I love that last tip there about visualization. It's always great to bring visualization into your exercising.
I always do. We talk about visualizing running away from something or running towards something. What I usually visualize at this point is just I'm in my perfect ideal shape when I'm moving really, really quick. And that communicates to the brain that that's why you're doing it.
And that's really, communicating that's with really images important. Is very powerful.
Yeah. Now, it's natural after a detox, you lose a little bit of weight to maybe gain some of that back. So what can typically happen is you drop some weights in my little graph again, maybe a little bit more comes back over the first couple of days, no matter what. That's just a lot of it's water weight. There's nothing you can do about that. And then you're in this place here where if you do it the right way, you have less inflammation. You're doing the exercise that makes your body want to be thin. You're nourishing your body. And then that's when you start to experience this where the weight starts to fall off.
Are you drawing something?
I'm drawing
a graph.
Oh, there it
is. Yep, I see it now.
Okay, there's my graph. So you see the beginning where you've lost some weight in the detox. Maybe you break the detox right here. There's a little bit of a bump up. And some people don't lose any weight during detox. Some people lose weight. It doesn't matter. There's a bump up. But if you do it right as you're going forward, you maybe after a week or two, you will start to experience a decline in weight because you've got less inflammation, less stress problems. You're nourishing your body more, and then it falls off. Yeah?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the goal of a detox cleanse isn't weight loss. It's not a crash diet,
right,
like we talked about in the very, very first webinar. The goal is to set the foundation for success as you move forward, and that's exactly what your graph is showing.
Exactly.
Your beautiful graph.
Thank you. Yeah, so processed food, we talked a lot about this. There's a couple of things you want to mention on this one?
Yeah, again, stay out of the middle aisles in the grocery store. That's where all of that stuff in that picture, everything in a can and a box that comes from a factory full of those really unhealthy ingredients, that's typically where it all is. Really just shop the periphery of the store. And just keep in mind that those things are full of ingredients that are going to make it harder for you to reach your goals. And you've done such great work these last 2 weeks. You've put a lot of commitment and effort into it. And so now moving forward, it's really, really nice to continue to support that with really healthy choices.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And keep it simple, delicious, and fun. Let's talk about that.
Yes, it's all about enjoyment. It's like I said earlier, it's not about sacrifice or deprivation. So, you know, during the cleanse, you do make a commitment to not eat solid food, and you are committing to that for the cleanse. That's a cleanse mode. But now that the cleanse is almost over and you're going to start to eat food again, it's about really finding those things that you love. So, you know, get out there and try some things that you haven't tried before. So there's a stat that I read a long time ago about most of us eat the same 10 ingredients over and over and over again. They might be prepared slightly differently, but the same 10 things. And there's no need to do that when there's so much available to so many of us. So when you're shopping for your greens, you know, stand in the middle of the farmer's market or in the middle of the produce department and just look at what's there and see what you're attracted to. Try a green that you've never tried before. Same thing with protein. Instead of having the same one all the time, just mix it up a little bit and keep it exciting. And like it says, keep it delicious, keep it fun.
And try as much as you can. You know, if you're having nuts, you would want to, and seeds, you want to try to activate them. They all have enzyme inhibitors that stop your body from breaking them down. So you want to soak them and dehydrate them. That's kind of a fun thing to do, or you can buy them activated and dehydrated. But you want to, when you activate them or when you soak them, they start to sprout. You break down the enzyme inhibitors, and they're much more digestible. So in general, you can do it yourself by soaking nuts overnight and then maybe drying them either in the oven in the lowest setting or in a dehydrator.
And you can flavor them, too, when you're drying them, too.
Yeah, put tamari really on them, or you know, you can experiment. So experimenting that way is kind of fun. Experimenting with sprouting, with fermenting, learning more about it. That site, culturedfoodlife.com, as I mentioned, has got some great recipes. Learning different places where you can buy healthy meats, like we talked about earlier, that I discovered with my butcher, or the farmers markets where people are growing spray-free produce at very affordable prices. Get connected with lots of different experiences. That's a really great thing to do.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, excellent. So so tomorrow we're going to have a live event, a live video event, where you'll see me on the video. I'll have a couple of suggested foods. We'll sort of kind of have a wrap-up party, and we can actually talk together. In the meantime, really, really enjoy this day. We'll bring Den back in if we can, because there are lots and lots of questions, and we'll try to answer some of those questions. And then we'll take it from there.
And people will be able to call in tomorrow, right, and talk?
People will be able to call in and talk with us.
Yeah, great.
Cool. Okay. Then?
Hi, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi. Okay. Nicole says, I'm wondering if I should be feeling nauseous still. It feels better when I drink broth or juice, but still does come back. It's always in the evening.
This is digestive healing going on. That's what's happening.
Yeah, I've experienced that myself, even the last day of the cleanse, still having some nausea. So it can certainly happen.
Okay. Kevin asks, what are your thoughts on allopurinol? I'm not sure what. Allopurinol. So maybe if Kevin, if you could write what you've been using it for in the chat role, and I'll ask on your behalf. Yeah. Okay. Carla says, what is the least inflammatory dairy products and how often can they be eaten? Are grass-fed dairy products inflammatory?
Grass-fed and raw are the best. So grass-fed raw sheep and goat are the best. I would say grass-fed fermented sheep and goat raw dairy is the best. And then second is grass-fed fermented raw cow dairy is the best. When I say raw, I mean unprocessed. Once you start processing dairy, then it becomes inflammatory. Cow dairy is more inflammatory than sheep and goat, even if they're all processed. But that would be how I would put the hierarchy of healthiness of the milk. What do you think, Anya?
Yep, that's exactly how I do it too. And it's unfortunately it's quite hard to obtain raw dairy here in America. So you know, then you can also look towards the other milks, the nut and seed milks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's a personal question here from Karen. How are you whitening your teeth naturally?
Oh, so a couple things that I've been doing the last couple of years is I use a natural tooth stick, which is, again, looking back in time, before toothbrushes, people used to brush their teeth with twigs. And so you use an appropriate tree, so something like a dogwood tree, or I'm using a hibiscus twig right now. The root of a pilu tree is also really nice, and you chew the end of it until it becomes bristly, and it creates a brush form, and then you can brush your teeth with that. My teeth, when I use that, they are cleaner than they ever have been at all. They feel like I've just come from the dentist, had a professional cleaning, and they look really white. So that's one thing I do. Another thing that I've just recently started doing in the last couple months, and somebody actually mentioned that her mother does this on the Q&A forum, is I take a sage leaf, so just a fresh sage leaf, and I wrap it around my finger, and I use that to brush my teeth. And sage has amazing properties for oral care, for the health of your throat and your mouth and your gums. So you get all of that in when you're doing that. And same thing with the toothsticks. The hibiscus tree has tooth cleaning properties in it. So you get that that kind of natural, I don't know if it's fluoride, but something like that action going on in your mouth.
Antibacterial. Wow.
Yeah,
This has to be in the day in the life.
This is something
we're following you around when you with the hibiscus tree and everything.
We're doing a road trip to Vegas, John.
Vegas, Dave.
Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Got to bring Aaron.
Definitely.
The other side of Vegas. Oh, that's right. Aaron with being the poker champion now. I'll have to bring him. He'll finance our trip for us.
Right.
But the other side of Vegas, really. Instead of the breakfast buffets, the $1 all-you-can-eat breakfast buffets, mm-hmm. we're gonna hang out with you and pick some hibiscus twigs.
So that's
I love it.
And then just one other thing to mention is really, really simple and easy is baking soda. And don't want to do it every single day because it can be a little bit abrasive, but say like once every few days, it's fantastic for whitening your teeth. You'll see an instant difference and great to get staining off of your teeth too. So you just sprinkle a bit of baking soda on your toothbrush and brush with that.
And what about oil pulling? You know, people are talking about oil pulling all the time.
I
don't know. I know it's supposed to be good for your teeth. Is it good for whitening also, or what is it good for?
Yeah, I've noticed. Of course, I'm doing it in conjunction with all of these other things, so I can't say for sure that it's just that. But I've heard other people as well say that it has helped to brighten their teeth. And it's fantastic for the health of your mouth. So when your mouth is healthy, your teeth are going to be whiter too, because your teeth are living things, and they have they're very porous, and there's things that are going in and out of your teeth. There's nutrients that are getting to your teeth. So if your mouth is healthy and your gums are healthy, then that's going to help the whiteness and the health of your teeth too.
And Dan, I heard you say something. Are you familiar with oil pulling? Is that something you do, Dan?
Oil pulling? Yes, I do. Yeah.
And you like it?
Yeah, I do. I really. I don't know why. I can't explain why, but it's something that feels good in my mouth.
Can you just explain the process? What exactly do you do?
Basically, if I'm cooking and I'm about to put a tablespoon of coconut oil in the pan, the coconut oil that's on the spoon, after I've done it, I'll just put it in my mouth and then swish it around and then spit it out. Probably a couple of minutes. I just like the feeling of it swishing around in my mouth. It just feels,
supposed to be really good. It's supposed to regrow teeth. You know, a lot of I'm watching these posts go by on Facebook. I haven't read too many of them, but how it can regrow teeth and things like that.
There's a page on my website that I wrote all about oil pulling, if anybody wants to read a little bit more about it.
Tell us your website again, please, Nadia.
It's making-healthy-choices.com. So makinghealthychoices.com with a hyphen between the words.
Somebody's discovered you on Pinterest too, Nadia, and she's very excited.
Oh, fantastic.
So how do we discover you on Pinterest, Nadia?
There's a link right on the website that I'll just hit the little Pinterest icon. It'll take you right there.
Okay.
Lots of great recipes.
Awesome.
I'm living in the day of Nadia.
Yeah.
Okay. Lisa says, can you eat kale and chard every day if you don't juice?
I don't think so. I don't think it's good to eat kale and chard every day. I think it's good to eat maybe once or twice a week. I do think the oscillates, I think they're called, they can create a subtle imbalance if you have too much of it. Certainly, I'd want to steam them to kill some of the enzyme inhibitors, but I wouldn't make it a daily thing. What are your thoughts, Nadia?
Yeah, this goes right back to having variety in your diet. Yeah. So you want to keep rotating your greens, rotating your protein, so you're not having the same things again. With greens, with kale and chard and a lot of the cruciferous greens, but with all the greens, there is there's something that nature has put in there so that we don't eat too much of it. And I've gone through this.
Yeah.
Where I've had kale over and over again in my juices every single day for quite a while. And all of a sudden, I'll be drinking a juice that I loved a month ago, and then I'll taste it, and it doesn't taste good. I actually feel a bit nauseous. I feel like I'm going to throw up. And what I learned through that experience and through my research is that your body builds up a little intolerance to a food if you eat it over and over and over again. So it really is important to keep rotating that so that over the course of your life, you can continue to enjoy all these foods, just not the same food all the time for a long period of time.
Okay. Laurie asks about having thyroid issues and kale and Swiss chard. So you are saying not to have it at all, or is it okay if you have thyroid issues to have kale and chard, Swiss chard occasionally?
Yes, this is my unprofessional opinion. I'm not a doctor. Or I would say it's fine to have a few times a week, once or twice a week. It's totally fine.
Okay. Vanessa and Molo ask, and this is interesting, would it be okay to have a liquid day or two every week going forward?
Yes, as long as you are not having hunger. That is the most important thing. If you go through a process where you're having hunger once a week, on and off, you know, people talk about things like intermittent fasting, which I'm going to talk about in a second, but if you have that process, your body's going to, it's almost like a relationship with a kid, you know, where you're denying your, you know, you say to the kid, you can't watch TV, and then they get a chance to watch TV, they're going to want, you know, they're not going to stop, they're going to binge on it. So you're going to create a dysfunctional relationship if you're having hunger. If you're not having hunger, it's fabulous. The same thing goes for intermittent fasting. Intermittent fasting is the idea that maybe you eat your food during a four-hour period during the day and you have 20 hours or 18 hours where you're not eating. It's one of the best things in the world you can do for yourself if you're not hungry. If you're hungry, it can create a dysfunctional relationship with food. So sometimes, for example, my last meal is a huge salad with animal protein and blah, 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 the whole thing, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm not hungry again until maybe 10 o'clock. So that's just an example. That's 18 hours of intermittent fasting. It's good. And that's been totally organic and with no effort. But if I was hungry at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, I'm lying in bed, it's 9 o'clock, it's 10 o'clock, so-and-so expert told me intermittent fasting is good, so I got to try to do this. By the time the bell rings at 10 o'clock, I'm going to have this huge binge, and I'm going to send myself into this cycle, this dysfunctional cycle of binge-starve that will always come back to bite you. So you want everything to be organic. If you're doing intermittent fasting, which, again, I think is a great thing to do, if it's organic, that is, you're not, you know, you eat your last meal in the afternoon, you're not hungry till later in the morning. If it's organic, that's great. A lot of times people tell me, I don't know what's wrong with me, I'm not that hungry anymore. And I say that the only thing that's happened is your body doesn't want the weight anymore. You are no longer insulin and leptin resistant. Your body's letting go of weight. When your body wants to let go of weight, you are not that hungry for long periods of time because you're burning fat. I mean, let's face it. If I'm going 20 hours without eating and I'm not hungry, what's going on? Well, I'm burning fat. What happens is when we have all these hormonal problems, we lose the ability to burn fat, and so we have to keep eating sugar all day to keep our blood sugar stable. But once you regain the ability to burn fat, you might go hours and hours, 20 hours, in fact, without being hungry, and that's because your body is burning fat, which is what you want. And so win-win scenario, and it comes from reversing the hormonal signals that are causing the problem in the first place, which is exactly what we're doing here. So if you can get to the place where, yeah, once a week or maybe once every 10 days, where your body just communicates to you that, hey, I want to have this, you know, to be mostly liquid on a regular basis, that's great. If you're doing it on an iron fist schedule, it's going to cause a problem. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, I am a huge proponent of listening to the body. And I tried to do it without listening to my body before. Years ago, I tried to do that, you know, one day a week of all liquids. And so I picked a day of the week, and that was going to be my day, and I was going to stick to that, you know.
Before you got your last meal, you know you're not going to have a meal for 24 hours, so you better make this meal count, and then you're counting the hours for the next meal.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work at all, and it just has you falling into that everything you described about that just feeling deprived and counting down the minutes, and it just doesn't work. But what I've noticed is that so I let that go. I realized quickly it wasn't working, and I let that go. And then now I just listen to my body. And the human body is very cyclical. So you go through cycles, and you go through some cycles where you feel like eating a lot and you have a lot of an appetite. And then you'll go through another cycle where you just don't feel like eating. And that happens to me naturally, and it's not on a calendar schedule. So it doesn't happen once a week or once a month. It just kind of happens randomly, it feels like. And, you know, there'll be days when I just wake up and I'm very, very hungry, and I eat a meal, and then an hour later I want another meal. And it's just like that all day. And then there'll be another day where I just don't have an appetite, and I'll try and eat something, and my body just doesn't want it. It doesn't taste good. And it's more than happy just being on liquids. And when I do it like that, it's fantastic.
Yeah. So, but the key to listening to your body is you have to get the signaling right. See, if your body, if your brain's resistant to hormones like leptin and insulin, and your liver's resistant, if you have, if you're, if the signaling, if the body's not listening to the signals, then you get this problem. So if I said, you know, I just listen to my friend all the time. He tells me what to do, but you've got earplugs on and you can't hear them. You can't listen. So what we're trying to do is change the signaling to get to the place where your body can hear the signals, and then the weight just melts off and you're not that hungry and you become efficient at burning fat, and you, and sometimes you go days without eating and sometimes you eat all day and you become your own weight loss guru because the signaling is right. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get the signaling right.
Okay. Hannah asks, can we have plums when we get off the detox?
I think you talked about that. Oh, you talked about prunes.
Prunes. Well, yeah, plums are fine. They've, they're nice high water content fruit.
Yeah.
Sure. Kate asks, I eat paleo anyway, so just get gently back into that afterwards.
Well, yeah, but the gentle part of it is start with salads and sprouts and fermented veggies and transition into the animal proteins. But keep it, you know, the first day it's mostly salads and sprouts and fermented veggies. Second day, it's, you know, 20% more protein, animal protein. Third day, you're back to where you need to be. So, so have that transition be like that, I would say. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay, well then, Stephen's question ties in. When can we start using protein powder, and which type do you recommend? And then when can we start to infuse eggs?
Yeah, so so day two is what we're suggesting, is you give yourself a day before you start introducing proteins. And fermented protein powders are probably the most digestible. So there's vegan fermented raw protein powders, sometimes they're called raw or fermented protein powders, are the most digestible, I find. So those are nice. And same with eggs, day two I would start to introduce them, see how you feel. Definitely take a digestive enzyme with them. And maybe have some apple cider vinegar, you know, before maybe, but see how you feel. And then if it's no problem at all, then you're fine. If you're feeling a little uncomfortable, just back it off and wait a little while.
Yeah, your body is going to tell you.
Yeah.
Would you recommend a brand, John? Or I suppose it's hard because people are all.
Yeah. So all, I like Garden of Life's products, and so Garden of Life has a raw fermented protein powder. So I just feel like they understand digestion really well. It comes from a guy who, Jordan Rubin, who almost died from digestive problems. He really had to find an answer. And so he really understands digestion. So I like his products. You can almost kind of close your eyes and pick them.
Okay. Yeah. Laurie asks, when can I bring in fresh salsa?
Fresh salsa.
Yeah.
So, salsa.
Yeah. So if the salsa is made with, if it's made with just really nourishing food and it's not like a something that's packaged that has other ingredients in it, that would be fabulous.
Yeah.
Okay. So, we've been eating spices, not eating, but we've been having spices anyway. So having a really spicy salsa would be fine too, wouldn't it? There wouldn't be.
Yeah, and again, just listen to your body as you eat it. So as you have those first couple bites, you know, your body will tell you, like, to ask yourself some questions. Do I feel nauseous? Do I feel queasy? Do I have any cramping? Is there any sort of digestive distress at all? And if the answer is no, then your body's probably okay with it.
Okay. Carla wants to know how you feel about rice. What's the stand on rice?
Yeah, so none of us are big grain eaters, just because it's not a real food in the sense that, like, it wouldn't be on an island. You wouldn't get rice on an island 10,000 years ago. You'd have to process it. You'd have to make it. You'd have to go through this whole process to create it. We've been conditioned to believe that processed food, which is basically man-made food, is good for us, is essential. If you look at the food pyramid, the grains are the first thing on the food pyramid. Rice is more digestible and less problematic than grains that have gluten in them, because it doesn't have the gluten and the gluten's inflammatory. But it is a grain that elevates your insulin levels, and the process of elevating your insulin levels causes your body to lose the ability to burn fat over time. You lose the signaling, and your body then starts to lose the ability to burn fat because it develops insulin resistance. And that's what we're trying to reverse. And that's why real foods in general, eaten in their most real state, are less likely to do that. So I'm not a huge fan of rice. I always use it with foods that that normally will require rice. I usually use cauliflower. So, for example, with sushi, I'll put cauliflower in a food processor with a couple of almonds and some tamari, which is like a wheat-free soy sauce. It gives it kind of a stick. When you put it in a food processor, the cauliflower and the almonds and tamari make it kind of like a sticky rice. I use that for sushis, you know, when I'm using a nori roll, or if I'm having a curry, I'll use that instead of the rice, and that works really well.
I tried parsnips the other day, and that worked really well too. So the same way that you do the cauliflower, just do it
in the food processor.
Yeah, and just process it down to the rice size particles, and that works good too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. okay. Now Marla has an interesting. She's having an interesting side effect or symptom, possibly.
Yes.
She's had a sore throat,
yes.
And it's in her jaw. It sort of feels in her jaw, and has now moved down to her chest between the breast.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if
so. The first thing I would say is it might be worth getting looked at. You know, we are not doctors. We're not offering medical advice, so you might want to look at that. It's great if you can get an alternative doctor that understands that antibiotics are for emergency cases, not just to take whenever, and looks at things in a more natural sense. So it's great if you can get an integrative doctor, a functional doctor, but it would be worth looking at. It sounds like it's slightly medical, but if I were just looking at it as a detox and not offering you medical advice, I would say it could still be detoxing from the jaw. You could be eliminating toxins from the jaw, you know, from the actual joints. And the sore throat is obviously your immune system fighting something that's gone into your chest. So I would definitely have it looked at. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. And along with that, you can do some salt water gargles. It's really nice for sore throat. Do some nice deep breathing that'll just keep you nice and relaxed. And I always like to look at the energetics of everything. So if you've got something happening in your throat area, along with all of the suggestions that you said, John, about getting it checked out and checking into all of those things, you can also think about in your visualizations, think about, you know, how are you communicating with the people around you? And how is your communication? Are you speaking your truth? All of those kinds of things. And once you start eating again, garlic is also a really nice thing. Garlic is a natural antibiotic. So if there is something there, then that's a nice thing to add into your diet too.
Load up on garlic, yeah.
Okay. Edward asks, could organ meat like liver be okay for day two or three?
Absolutely. So healthy for you.
Yeah. Okay. What about, Rachel wants to know, what about spirulina, maca powder, and hemp seeds? Would that be okay for day one?
Probably. You try it. So spirulina, I was having all through my detox. Maca powder, I don't see why not. And hemp seeds, I would think maybe in the afternoon, not the first meal, but maybe later in the day. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, and I would say the same for the maca powder. Just the maca and the hemp, maybe wait until you've eaten a few things first so the digestive system has just had a chance to start going, and then later on day one or day two for sure.
Okay. What about, Mona wants to know, what about chocolate almond milk with chia seeds for day one or two?
Okay, so chocolate almond milk. I'd want to know how it's sweetened. First of all, chocolate almond milk with chia seeds. Is that what you said?
Yes. Yeah.
So what, you're soaking the chia seeds in the chocolate almond milk? Is that the idea? So you're making like a chocolate pudding type of thing? I'm assuming that's what you mean. If that's what you mean, then I would have that later in the day, assuming I also want to know what the sugar is. I would want to have it later in the day or in the second day, but also soak it really well so that the chia seeds become really, so it gets that kind of pudding quality. The chia seeds become, the enzyme inhibitors get broken down in the chia seeds. What are you saying on that?
Yeah, I agree. Any of the nut milks, you want to wait until later in day one or day two for sure.
And you want to see how they're sweetened. Chocolate almond milk sounds like it's loaded with sugars, and almond milks in general, unless they specifically say unsweetened, are loaded with sugar if you're store buying them.
But that's something you can make at home too.
Exactly.
And it's very, very easy to make almond milk at home. It's really just soaked almonds and water in the blender, and then you strain that out, and then you can add in raw cacao powder and sweeten it.
Exactly. You can sweeten with a little bit of stevia. You can try stevia or maybe a little bit of a coconut nectar, coconut palm sugar. But you can also buy unsweetened almond milk from the store and then put your own raw cacao and some stevia or coconut palm sugar to make your own chocolate milk rather than buy it store-bought and think, oh, this has got to be great because it's not too much different than regular chocolate milk in terms of the sugar content.
Okay. Amolo's added to the sore throat. It came up last night. After the tightening was just after drinking the Omega drink. That has gone away, and I think it was just too much at once. So okay. Okay, Claudine asks about alcohol. What about having a drink after the detox? What's best, wine, liquor? Wine or spirits.
Okay, Dan or Nadia?
So for sure, you want to wait a nice while until your digestive system is full. You're very sensitive after the cleanse to begin with. So anything that you put in your body, you're going to be extra sensitive to, alcohol included. And so I would certainly hold off until at least day three. If you are going to drink alcohol, I would make sure that you're drinking a lot of water. So for every sip of alcohol, have a sip of water too. For every drink, have a drink of water. So it's getting diluted in your system. Your body's going to be able to move it through your system with a bit more ease. And then in terms of what kind of alcohol, make the best choice you can. So if you can get an organic wine, something like that, versus something that has a bunch of additives in it.
Yeah. Okay.
Sedona asks, she's curious to know what you both think about castor oil at the end of a cleanse. She did an Ayurvedic cleanse a while back with daily enemas, and then the practitioner instructed her to take a 1 to 2 tablespoon of castor oil at the end of it.
The castor oil is going to, it's very laxative. So that's what it does, is it creates a laxative effect in your body. I don't feel that there's a need for that after this cleanse. But it's something that, just like with enemas, it's something that you can keep in mind for a natural remedy as you move forward in your life. If you need something to help you with some sort of constipation issue at another time, it's really good to use for that. And then the other way that you can use castor oil, instead of taking it internally, it's really nice to do castor oil packs. So that's where you put castor oil topically on your body, and then you put a hot water bottle over top of that over the affected area. So if it's your lower back or your liver or anywhere that needs attention, that's a really nice way to use castor oil as well.
Okay. So Dan, this is when I say, you know, we have time for one more question.
Okay, let me quickly.
Yeah, all right,
maybe
an encore, you know.
Yeah. Okay, Jennifer says, first of all, thank you so much. It feels like it was a real turning point, and I'm finally on a path to better health. Awesome. But what should we do if we realize that after eating a bit of solid food, we feel sick or have a bad reaction?
Slow. But go ahead, Nadia.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I was going to say. Just slow it down. Maybe choose something different to eat. So whatever it is that you ate and it caused you to feel that way, maybe see if there's something that is even more simple than that. And the fermented foods that we've been talking about are really, really great because they're pre-digested and they're full of probiotics and things that are very, very easy for your digestive system to handle. If you're feeling queasy, then just back off from it. Drink water, maybe have another broth soup or a detox tea or something, one of the things that we were having during the detox, and then go back to food again.
Yeah, it really is true what Nadia says. It's something you're going to sit down, have a bite or two, and it's very likely that that's all you want. And, you know, we're conditioned to sit down and just chow down a meal. It's going to be different, and I would prepare yourself for that, position yourself for that mentally also, that it's not going to be a meal in the sense that you're going to sit down and chow down. You'll have a bite or two, you'll sit, your body's going to want to sit with that for 10 minutes or 20 minutes or an hour or 2 hours even. And then you're going to want some more. Just have the food available, make as much space as you can for yourself to get it off of the cleanse naturally, and just keep coming back in a real gentle way.
Yeah.
Okay. Rebecca says, I totally understand your caution about going longer, but I'm feeling so successful for the first time in ages. I'd really like to continue. I'd like to hear some of your body will tell you when it's time to eat again signs, perhaps in the detox area.
So I have seen a lot of people that have come to me and said exactly what Rebecca's saying, and they feel really great, and they haven't felt this great in their entire life, and they really want to get more out of it, and they want to do more, and they want to go longer.
Run with the ball,
Right. And what I've seen happen a lot of times is that some of those people will decide to go longer, and they'll go longer, and they'll go to a point where their body is has beyond the point where their body has finished cleansing. And then what happens is they're so ready to eat at that point that when they decide to break their fast, it's a lot harder to make really great choices, because it's almost like if you allow yourself to get really hungry during the day in your normal life, if you haven't eaten all day and you're super, super hungry, yeah. you typically reach you, for you whatever's easiest through. And yeah. fastest, right? And it's really hard to make great choices. It's the same way with this detox. If you go too long, then you're going to find it really hard to make great choices and to take it really slow and to chew your food really well. So what I highly, highly suggest is remembering that the detox isn't about getting rid of every last toxin in your body. It's about allowing your body to eliminate toxins in this period of time. And then it's about breaking the cleanse properly and going on to make healthy diet and lifestyle choices as you move forward until your next cleanse.
So believe it or not, this is actually the way you want to feel when you get off the cleanse, the way you're feeling right now. You don't want to feel like, oh, shit, I got to eat something. That's not the way you want to feel. Excuse my language. You want to be feeling exactly the way you're feeling right now. This is the perfect time to get off of the cleanse and move forward. And the way you're feeling, the kind of euphoric calmness, that you're being introduced to something that will be your natural state or your default state going forward. So, like, the first time I did a detox, I was in the exact state you're talking about. You just feel so amazing and euphoric, and you want to just keep going. And then you go back to eating, and eventually you get back into the world in your normal state, and it's not the same. But what I've discovered years down the road is that euphoric state can become your default state. So right now, when your energy is very high and there's lots of life force energy flowing through your body and your digestion is really strong and you're eating really high nutrient foods that are easy to digest and are real, you're in this calm euphoric state most of the time. So that's sort of like has become more of a default. Am I in it all the time? No, there's times when I get pulled out of it, but my default now is more that calm euphoric state that you're talking about, that you're experiencing right now.
Right.
Go ahead. Nadia.
Oh, sorry.
All right, I'll just finish.
Yeah.
I'll just finish. And then just say, that's what you want to be looking for, is that you're moving in that direction so that this state that you're feeling right now is your default state. It's not something you have to strive for by forcing yourself to be on detox as long as possible, but you want to live a detoxifying lifestyle where you're getting cleaner, cleaner, purer, your energy is increasing, you're learning how to meditate, do visualization, so your brain is accessing pleasurable areas that it's accessing right now because you're in this calm state, and you want that to be your default. So it's kind of like a window into where you're going more than anything. Would you agree with that, Nadia?
Exactly. And yeah. Once you start eating, that really great feeling, Rebecca, that you have right now, that's not necessarily going to go away, that once you start eating. And because you're in this really high vibrational state right now, that means that once you start eating, you're going to be able to make such conscious choices. You're going to be able to have, you know, a smoothie that you make in the morning, and then you just sip very slowly on that smoothie throughout the day. Yeah. And, you know, where we're talking about, you know, these foods that you eat on day one, and then on day two, you can move into a little bit heavier proteins, and then on day three, even heavier proteins. I mean, you can take that even slower than that. You know, you can be really, really simple foods all of day one, and not just, you know, till the end of day one, and keep it very, very simple. And then day two, start very, very simple again. And, you know, just support the state that you're in.
Awesome.
And enjoy it too. And enjoy it. It's all about enjoying everything you've done.
This is where you want to be. You said you've been successful. You want the total experience to be successful. This is the time that you want to make some really, really good choices. Give yourself the gift of getting off of this detox in a really healthy, beautiful way. And you will be introduced to a cleansing mechanism that will keep you younger and healthier for the rest of your life. So that's all the time we have for today. Enjoy this last day. Enjoy the euphoria if that's what you're experiencing. And be very gentle and loving with yourself if detox symptoms are coming. Either way, we will meet again tomorrow where we'll talk about it. We'll kind of have like a wrap-up party, and you can call in and talk to both of us if you want, or just connect. And keep connecting on the Facebook. And if you have any other questions, we will answer them as much as possible in the members areas and in the Facebook group. And we will speak to you real soon. Thanks again, Nadia, for all your beautiful and brilliant and creative information, and Dan also, and Aaron and Shan and Alice and Deja and everyone else that's in there helping out. And we'll speak to you real soon. Take care.